So everybody's familiar with this oil painting of Rizal done by Juan Luna in Paris in the 1800s. But many might not be familiar with this painting. It's an oil painting by Emmanuel Garibay. And it's entitled Wow of the Philippines, but painted in 2008, also in oil. So he was looking at Rizal as an icon and as an endorser. Remember, there was a controversy a few months back about Wow Philippines as a campaign slogan and led to the resignation of Fernando's retiree. So, next step. Then, of course, there's the ongoing or continuing controversy about Rizal and Bonifacio. But for the artists, they're both revolutionaries, working in different and finally, again, from Garibay, it's called Hybrid 2010. So he looks at Jose Rizal as a symbol of the Filipino, as a hybrid, struggling with identity, colonization, and alienation. So it's rich, but I don't have the time to let you appreciate the painting. So, first of all, I do not claim expertise on Jose Rizal. Because I'm a wildlife biologist. So what's a wildlife biologist doing looking at Rizal? So I was invited a few months back while this conference was being organized to look at Rizal, to revisit him, particularly as a natural scientist and from the point of view of a biologist. And my immediate reaction was supposedly the original title, no? But to compare Rizal with Darwin and with the knee-jerk conclusion that he was no Darwin. Of course I was wrong. I was criticized as being too harsh on Rizal. And later you'll know why. Because I realized I knew very little about Rizal's work other than the required reading of Noli and El Fili. And trivial things we were asked to memorize about his life. We all know about the women in Rizal's life, but not the other things that are more important. And realized I knew more about Charles Darwin than Jose Rizal. I have more books about Darwin, about the Darwin and Rizal scene. So it led me to examine myself on what I knew about Jose Rizal. So, like most Filipinos, I treated Rizal as one of those things that you have to study as you pass through the educational system because it's a requirement. Never paid much attention to what his real contributions were. And as a UP student, exposure to the work of Renato Constantino's veneration without understanding further dampened any interest to study and understand Rizal. Because once you read it, you try to forget Rizal. However, and because of that, like most Filipinos again, accepted the conclusions that Rizal was, one, from a well-to-do family as his family could afford to send him to Europe to study. But that didn't mean that he did not suffer while in Europe. Because as you know, sometimes the money remitted were delayed or did not arrive. And is it a crime to be from a well-to-do family and not be able to appreciate the life of the masses, the interest of the masses? It's as if it's a crime, not the way it's presented to us. A reformist. But then when you look at his dangerous ideas, his big ideas, he was telling the world that, hey, we colonized people are equivalent, if not better, than the colonizers. So that's a radical idea. Yet people were not contented with the radical idea because he did not advocate armed revolution. But he was turning the world upside down by merely thinking that and advocating that. And of course, he was on his way to Cuba to serve as a doctor in the Spanish army when the Philippine Revolution broke out. But again, he accepted this fact, but not realizing he was in the Bataan, in exile, and tried to make the most of his time. He wanted to be productive. He wanted to do something and he was being prevented from that. And that was his only way out at the time. Not many people appreciate that. And of course, from the veneration without understanding, he is a U.S. manufactured hero. I'll let other speakers talk about that. And Andres Bonifacio was a better suited to be the national hero because he led the armed revolution. As I've said, there are two sides of the same coin. And many more that seem to encourage to view Rizal in a lesser light. Okay. So this is what the general Filipino student would think and have their attitude towards the result. So, I have to look for result. And luckily, we have some old books by Palma, and of course, the Saide and Saide edition. And then, just recently, I discovered there's an e-copy of this book by Austin Craig, who I learned later is a professor here at the university, at the when the university started, when UP started. Okay. Then also, this became a journey, trying to collect as much information. This is an obscure book produced by the city of Calambat 5 years ago, when they were celebrating the 145th anniversary of the Rizal. No? And the reason I got a copy is because one of the editors was my friend. So then, of course, the ultimate resource now about Rizal is most of it are uploaded in Pinyana.net. So I contacted various groups and people asking for materials from Jose Rizal. No? I wrote to my colleagues in the U.S., Germany, and to anybody who I think could have a link to Rizal just to get information, and discuss with my wife and kids what they knew about Rizal. So that's the immediate feedback. And my kids, who were just finishing high school, had to study Fili and Noli. So I had to read them again in the Tagalog version. And later, I got to read Devershire's version, you know, but not the newer versions. Okay? So it led me to conclude, to arrive at the hypothesis at this stage. I would say it's as a panoramic naturalist. Okay? So as I've said, as I've been introduced, I'm a professor at the Institute of Biology. So started to look at what was Rizal like when he was small. The interesting thing that caught my attention was the first paragraph. The little boy spent also much of his time in the church, which was conveniently new, but when the mother suggested that this might be an indication of religious inclination, his prompt response was that he liked to watch people. Even at that young age, he was interested. And then this paragraph is just to show that he can observe nature, and he drew them. He was an artist, no? But he knew his science, as I will show later. So this is an interesting thing. No? So two writings of Rizal called Thoughts of His Youthful Day. One tells how he used to wander down along the lakeshore and looking across the waters, wonder about the people on the other side. As a biologist, when I go to Laguna Lake, I think of the fish and other life forms in the lake. But for Rizal, he was thinking about the people on the other side. No? So you can see that he can see nature, but his interest is in people. It also led me to, I don't know, you know, Rizal wrote a memoir of his youth. It's, in here, he was describing all the different plant materials he was working on, or he was interacting with, the tampoy, the mapopa, plum tree, kasoy, etc. And then here towards the end, he was describing the different types of birds he could see in his backyard. Or he could remember this is a memoir, the yellow kalikupuyawan, I think that's the oriole, the maya of different varieties, the pulay, maya capra, etc. So he can see them. But again, it was not of interest to him the way he was interested. Also, people remember the story about the moth and the flame. And he remembers the story, the lesson to be learned from that fable. But if he's really interested in biology, he would have asked, why is the moth interested in the light? But never asked that question. He just took the lessons. So this was from one of his other pseudonyms is Timas Ingo. This is incorporated as an appendix inside. So, let me to look at what has been written about Rizal as a scientist. And two articles stand out. One is the Rizal the Scientist, written by Ben DeLumen, who's now in, I think, UCLA, as a chemist or nutritionist. And he wrote an article about, you can still access this article. And the other article was by Dr. Ben Vallejo, who's a faculty member here at the school, the Institute of Environmental Science and Management. So he looked at Darwin's scientific writing and how he relates to Darwinism. Now, it also led me to this letter written by Rizal to Blumenthal. So he was talking about, this was 1888, immediately after publishing Noli. He was frustrated because he was expecting people to react, but very few were reacting to it. But the most interesting thing was the next paragraph. He said, if I were a free European, I would be married by now. I would have a family, and I could live beside my parents, devote myself to science. And with my friends, etc., if you know how I envy the last clerk of London. Because he wanted to do science, but because of his higher calling, higher advocacy, he had to forego it. Now, parallelisms between Darwin and Jose Rizal. The interesting thing is, Darwin came from a family of medical doctors. His grandfather Erasmus, his father Robert, they're all medical doctors. And he was destined to become a doctor, except that he fainted at the sight of blood. While Rizal came from a family of merchant farmers, ended up with a degree in medicine in response to him, because his mother was going blind. Darwin traveled around the world to study nature. Rizal traveled around the world to study human societies. Because remember, this idea is that we colonized people are equal to the colonizers. He wanted to prove that. And his Darwin's revolutionary idea was that descent with modification and humans as part of nature, whereas Darwin's revolutionary idea was that freedom, equality, and fraternity applies to colonized people as well. Okay? And Darwin published many books, but these are the three most important that supported this revolutionary idea. While Rizal published three books, two we know of. The third one, Annotation, was not recognized as a publication, but it was. No? Social Implication of His Works on Nature and Society. The implication is on nature and society, whereas, again, consistent with this idea for freedom, independence, and equality. Darwin basically, with this idea, challenged the church's central tenet, whereas Rizal challenged the church's political powers. So, Rizal's interest or lack of in natural history. So, he grew up in Laguna Lake on the east and Mount Makiling on the southeast, south-southeast. But no, there's no mention of exploring Laguna Lake nor Mount Makiling for its natural history. You cannot see. I went to Mount Makiling to look at nature. You can't see any, or it's still in somewhere hidden. We have to look for it. In his student memoirs, as I've said, he wrote about the fruit trees and the birds that he observed. He looked at the world as an artist, basically. But he saw the natural world as a backdrop to the larger landscape of life. And that's what differentiated. Now, this is the grade I heard yesterday that somebody presented, it, but only the UST grade. This is the Ateneo grade when he was, technically it's his high school. So he graduated even before he was 16, and he received with the highest honors. The thing to note is that all the things in red now, these are all science subjects. So he knew his plants because he had botany and zoology. He knew his chemistry, he knew his math. He was properly trained. Okay. And in USD, yesterday apparently there was somebody from USD who claimed this was not true. But again, if you look at, he had good grades. He did not perform as good as in Ateneo because apparently because of discrimination, bad practices, etc. But the thing is, he did well. And then he went to Madrid, Central Universidad Central de Madrid, to finish his medical degree, which he got in 84, continued the next year to get his doctorate. However, he was not awarded the degree because he failed to pay the fees and failed to submit a dissertation. But at the same time he was doing his medical degree, he was doing his philosophy in letters. And remember, he started writing Noli in 1884. So he was doing these courses. He was writing Noli at the same time. And he was not yet 22 years old. So these are the two books and more recent translation by Virgilio Almario, our national artist, and of course the Penguin editions that came out, the last one, the feeling, came out only last May. Again, an interpretation of Garibay on what knowledge meant to people. And then, of course, the Pili, which was published in 1891. And this is the quotation, no, from Pili, chapter 32, Efectos de los Pasquines. I don't know if anybody could read Spanish, but here's the translation, both in English and in Filipino. So here, he was saying, Paulita was obeying the law discovered by Darwin. So meaning, that Rizal knew about Darwin, knew about the work of Darwin. It just that wasn't important to him, but he knew, reading to Rizal, he was putting in quotes, no, of the things he had learned, he had read, and he knew it was appropriately placed. It was not something to show off. No? He did not do it to show off, but rather part of the weaving of the story he made, no, including this one. Then, of course, another rich interpretation of the lessons from El Filibusterismo. Now, as I said, these are the two books we knew of, but the third book that was missing or underappreciated is his annotation to Morga's Philippine history. It's important because he wanted to show that the Philippines, based on Morga's reporting, was as cultured, as civilized as other parts of the world. That's an important context of that publication. Now, here's the interesting thing. On June 20, 1892, before he boarded the ship in Hong Kong, which brought him back to Manila, Rizal wrote two farewell letters. One addressed to his parents, brothers, sisters, and friends, another addressed to the Filipinos. Okay. Left these letters with Dr. Lorenzo P. Marquez, a Portuguese physician of Macau, and to be opened only after his death. No, I was surprised when I read it, but he did. So meaning, he knew that the moment he returned to the Philippines, he wanted to get out alive. Now, this is the context when he arrived in Manila and eventually deported to Dapitan. Thus, his most productive life in terms of the natural sciences was made while he was in Dapitan, because he was waiting for something to happen. And it has made the most out of this. Here, I'll just show you, just to, he was corresponding with Mayer, and he was discussing about wild boars. So he knew his biology. Although he did not publish about it, but it's in his correspondence about wild boars. And then he was already describing the tarsier. He already saw a tarsier in Tapitan. When he was talking about, we have neither armadillo or porcupine because these can only be found in Palawan. So he knew his biogeography. And the thing about Rizal, although he did not personally study these materials, he exchanged it, sent it to Europe because he knew that there were better people who can do the study. And in exchange, he got books. So he never got paid except in book, with books and equipment. Now, I think I'm running. I'll just go through. Yeah, this is interesting. No? Somebody was asking him about when did hashish arrive in the Philippines. So he did, and like a good researcher, he said, I had to consult some countrymen and books concerning your question about the hashish before I can respond. So he did not give knee-jerk reactions. And the interesting thing was that I myself, in 1879, used hashish, did it for experimental purposes, and I obtained the substance from drugstores. So he knew what he was talking about. The other interesting thing is, if I had Father Blanco's Flora, the book about Philippine plants, he would have answered it in a much better way. But he was in Brussels at the time. Here, the tingaog is a civet cat that produces much fish and some insects. So he knew his... Okay, go. So he could argue. He could argue about, permit me not to share entirely your opinion. He does his homework. And this is the interesting thing. I applied to write in various languages. He wrote this letter in 5 languages. It has Spanish, Italian, French, English, and German. In that letter, in a short letter, in X. I'm sending a few years fish. Note the date. He sent this January 1895. Next slide. Took 6 months for Mayer to respond to the specimens he collected. He identified it and described it as well. And here, Heller, remember the name Heller, as it will come out again. Next, I'm not in the mood. He was talking about his analysis of why the eyes of Negritos are yellow. No, and he had a scientific explanation for that. I don't have the time to go through it. Next. Concerning limited intelligence in races, he was arguing. Remember at this time, Mendel was not yet in the horizon. Mendel was rediscovered in 1899. And he was writing in 1895. He was talking about genetics and heredity. Next. So let's now go to contribution to science. We'll go quickly. So when you Google, when you try to Google results contribution to science, this is what will appear. The 3 species. The first one is the Draco Rizali, this one. Then you have the Racopholus, and then the Apogonia Rizali, Adam Beetle. Okay. Next. So I checked. This is the original article that described the species. This is now the new specimens in Harvard. Next. But it's not a valid species anymore. It's been synonymized. No? So Rizali is now Guentera. Next. The flying is a flying frog, Racophorus Rizali. Now again, I traced the original paper. These are the different, and you can see why it could be misnamed. Okay, next. Because again, Rizali has been synonymized. It's now Racophorus Pardalis. That's why it's difficult if you try to Google Racophorus Rizali, you'll go back to that picture again. The correct name is now Pardalis, which leaves, again, left, forward. So which leaves us with this Apogonia, the dung beetle. It's difficult to trace. I only found the original article 2 days ago. Because everybody thought it was in Dresden Museum, when in fact it was published in the Leiden Museum. He collected fish and drew fish in the pita, drew about it. And then he listed supposedly these are butterflies collected by Rizal. These are not butterflies. These are snails. So we have to call the attention of Filipiniano that they identified. Next. These are the list of shells collected by Rizal. Quickly. There are 300 specimens he collected and noted. Next. I'll just show you expanded version of this letter. Next. The interesting thing is that it's wonderful that Rizal has been able to collect, identify shells, which is the hardest working shell collecting without the facilities of a library and a museum. So he was identifying this based on memory. Now, so the list you saw, some of the identification were incomplete because he could only remember up to a certain level. So that's his genius, no? Being able to identify me that list without any references. Next. So after independence, there are 3 more species named after him. Spatomeles, Hopnia, and Kalayaan. No? Note that these last 2 species were identified by Filipinos, the first one by an American. Next. So this is Rizali. If you're technical, you can see this is Rizali compared to the other species. Okay. Next. And this is how the actual image of the fungus beetle looks like. Apparently, it feeds on fungus in the forest. Next. And this is a spider named after Rizal. Next. This is the mite named after Rizal. So these are the 6 species, 2 of which have been synonymized. Next. So given the high level of endemism in Philippines, it is surprising that only 6 species of animals have been named after Jose himself. I have not found any species of plants, fungi, or microorganisms named after him. Next. Of course, he's an artist. He accurately depicted animals when he wanted to. Next. I'm winding up. This is the North Korea. The reason I'm putting this up is he was engaged in negotiations to set up the colony. Next. So he was, this one, he was engaging an agent. And they were talking terms of engagement. Parang TOR nung agent niya. Next. So, this is the interest. In this case, I request your, and he was writing to this Bohol, no? To grant us the desired permission to change our nationality. He was so frustrated with the Spaniards. He just wanted to go to Borneo and settle there. And the thing is, he never mentioned biodiversity when in fact, a book by Alfred Russel Wallace, the co-discoverer of evolution, wrote a book about Borneo. Never mentioned that. Next. So based on the previous lecture, how are we to assess results as a natural scientist? If we base this assessment, whether he produced publications that dealt with the biology of organisms and ecosystems or not, then the answer is no. On one hand, it is very clear that he did not contribute directly to the generation of knowledge in the form of writing papers to espouse ideas based on research the way Charles Darwin did. One cannot find papers that Rizal wrote in scientific journals. On the other hand, it is clear that he was trained in the natural, physical, and medical sciences and was a foremost practitioner. Now, this is a letter he sent to Blumentritt, wherein he was advising the son of Blumentritt, Fritz, that in the natural sciences, my country can offer him treasures yet undiscovered. There are here many species still unknown in zoology and botany, judging by the discoveries that are being made. If he ever will come here as a naturalist, his name will be his passport in this country. So he knew the rich biodiversity of our country. It just wasn't important for him. Next. Again, just quickly, he was engaged about the discussion about the water buffalo. So he was not interested in the biology. He was interested in how the name Anoa came about. So he said it came from the sound Uwa, the way Uwa, Tik Tik, and Tupo derived their name. So different animal talentships are next. So why he did not produce such publication? Not because it was not important, but because it was not his priority. His priority was the people. Next. A more productive assessment is to ask the question, what are Jose Rizal's contributions to science? He knew his scientific method and applied it whether he was treating a patient, analyzing society, or even looking at nature. He was a meticulous record keeper. That's why we knew about this. Now, our knowledge of what it is recorded in his diaries and correspondence. He looked at nature and saw its utilitarian value. He used Laguna Lake and Makiling and other natural elements as backdrops to his writings, whether in poems, essays, or books. Okay? So, next to the last slide, I have to suspend. He was telling Blumentritt that he was asked to write an article on witchcraft. Because, again, he knew that it was a problem. No? So, true enough, I found a publication on the treatment of the witch, which he did in November 15. He wrote Blumentritt November 20. He was really writing something. He was not, hindi niya binobola si Blumentritt when he said he could not write. Next. So, that's how I arrived at the conclusion that he indeed was a panoramic naturalist. So I wanted people to remember, because we always remember Rizal as that. So this is a picture which became the basis of the documentary by Howie Severino. I got this picture from him, where he was mischievously smiling. Apparently, the girl on the far left is Nelly Bosted, his girlfriend. Next. Of course, this is how we remember him. And finally, of course, Garibay has something to say about the story of the subversive, his aspirations, life, blood, life, ideals, masterpiece that led to his execution. And finally, as I said, I went through a lot of things in this journey to find Rizal, and I even met Virgilio and Mario, where he gave me a dedication, kailangan ng patuloy ng Phil Bustelo. Magandang umaga po sa inyo.